welcome to the Self-Help Podcast, a weekly no-nonsense guide dedicated to your emotional health and well-being. Presented by entrepreneur Edward Lamb and psychotherapist Sean Orford. For more information, visit liveinthepresent.co.uk.
Okay, hello, welcome to episode number 180 of this Self-Help Podcast with me, Edward Lamb, and Sean Orford. How are you, Sean?
Sounds like when they play darts and they go 180. I'm good. How are you?
Yeah, I'm brilliant. I'm cool. Yeah, I'm shattered, knackered, overworked, underpaid.
Nah.
Well.
Well, yeah, I saw the Rolls Royce you drove up.
Yeah, right. As did zoom past one on the motorway, actually. Pretty cool number plate. Which, can I say number plates out on the air? You're not going to find out, are you? 002, 007 it was. 002007. It could be.
Do you think it was James Bond in there?
Maybe.
It was James Bond the second.
His rear window was actually a bit misted up, so.
Who knows what was going on in the back seat?
Maybe it was him, yeah. Had Moneypenny in with him. Who knows? Yeah, this is the Self-Help Podcast.
Oh, right, yes.
We're talking about anxiety this week.
Yep.
Which, as the world slowly kind of crumbles beneath our feet, many people, more people than normal, maybe are struggling with this issue. I know I certainly am. Liveinthepresent.co.uk is our website. Sean, you've written a little, or a longish, middling size length blog post.
Well, I've been sitting down with a client who was talking to me about drowning in his partner's anxiety, was what he was talking about. Right. And his question was, can anxiety be an addiction?
Oh, anxiety addiction. I'm guessing the answer is yes, but don't give away the answer just yet. We've got to keep people listening just a little bit longer. Don't worry yet. We may. You need to be more tactful about that.
Do you think I'm getting anxious?
You are very anxious.
Do you think?
Yeah. Yes, just so you know, listeners, my computer is starting to show its age a little bit, and
we've like had his own.
A few instances of late where we've been talking and then realised that my computer's given out and I need to restart things. And
the powers of wisdom just rolled down the drain.
We lost about 20 minutes recently, didn't we? But hey-ho, it's all fine. You keep an eye on it, Sean. We'll be okay.
I've got my eye on it.
So Sean's blog post, liveinthepresent.co.uk, all previous episodes are there as well. Quick shout-out to our sponsor, 123 Friday. Sponsor? Partner? Let's call them partners. If you go to liveinthepresent.co.uk/123, basically it's a backup app for your phone. It'll back up all your photos, videos and contacts, keeping those precious memories safe and sound. It's just £10 a year. And Live in the Present, this little podcast, gets a tiny little slice of that £1 every time you sign up. So it's a really easy way to get a good product and support the show. We don't ask for much, do we, Sean?
Nah.
God knows it.
Don't ask for nothing, do we?
All right, that's the sales pitch out. How are you doing? You okay?
I'm good.
Was
that supposed to be a London accent you did?
Yeah, I do a lot of Cockney accents on this show.
Nah, you don't. Say. They think you're a Cockney, do they?
Oh, I could be.
Go bleat now, Governor.
I could be South African. My lollipop man is from South Africa.
From South Africa?
He is.
Oh.
Not sure which part. I should ask you. I know, he's probably told me, but...
Probably feels it's cold up here, I'm thinking.
He's lived over here a while, I think he's used to it, but yeah. Anyway, how have you been doing? You okay?
I'm good. I've had the lurgy, which I still haven't got rid of.
Yeah.
Lurgy and Derby. We went to Derby on the weekend to a Christmas fair, which was kind of funny because Christmas seems to get earlier and earlier. I know we're in November, but it's seems crazy.
I know. No, I mean... it does annoy me, but as soon as it turns November, you expect to see the adverts on telly.
Yeah.
I haven't seen any trees, like, in house, like, suburban house windows yet.
Yeah.
There's a Christmas fair this weekend that I'm going to, charity one, and, yeah.
Yeah, you will.
Really, it should be December, shouldn't it?
Yeah.
Earliest.
Yeah.
We all know it. Let's just get it sorted, eh? I've had the lurgy a little bit as well. Not too bad. Not as bad as you, I don't think.
No.
It's all go. And my parents have just returned back from a nice little 10-day trip across the Atlantic. They were halfway across the Atlantic when Trump got elected. So,
wow. Were they on a boat?
Probably.
Halfway?
Yeah, they were. Yeah, yeah, on a ship for a 60th birthday present for me.
What's the difference between a ship and a boat?
I think it's more scale, isn't it? Like a ship is quite big, a boat is can be pretty tiny.
I don't know.
But not much, probably. I'm not the man to ask on that. but yeah, and then they had a couple of days in New York as well, tagged on the end, which they enjoyed thoroughly. Good to have you back, folks.
Yep.
I haven't been to New York in a long time. You ever been over there?
Me. My second home.
I was going to say, you probably lived there for about 10 years and you did all sorts.
I've done my bit in the States. You know. Route 66. America is a different country, obviously, to here. But, I mean, it's, you know, that idea that America is divided from Britain by a common language that we don't share.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very different world.
It's many different worlds, really, America, isn't it? It's so vast.
Mm.
Obviously, there's a bit of a divide there at the moment, and I think it, well, politically speaking, but I mean, I've only been to the coastal regions. I've been to New York, and I've been to California. So, traditionally, I mean, they're actually known as kind of the coastal elites. If you live near the coast, you kind of, you're known as a coastal elite. And
but when you get into huge continents like that, when you're in the middle, and you can drive for days and days and days and days and days and days before you get to any sea, you know, which is really weird when you live on an island like Britain.
When you're never that far away?
No.
But even, you know, there's people that... I'd feel quite claustrophobic if I lived... I've always lived near the sea, you know, within a few miles of the coast. I know you would get used to it, wouldn't you? But I can't imagine not living that close to the seaside.
I know people from the world that have moved inland, sort of Birmingham, places like that, that then feel that they're in that sort of claustrophobic.
Maybe they start to feel a bit anxious about it, hey? How's that for a seamless little link?
I thought that was amazing.
Right, so, yeah, we're talking about AAD, anxiety... No. What is it? Go on, you tell me. You wrote it.
Is it anxiety, addiction, disorder?
That's it, yeah. So a listener or someone you've been helping out, his partner or his or her partner is suffering with or feels like he or she is drowning in her anxiety.
Yeah.
And that she's in some way or he is some way addicted to it.
That she is addicted to it.
Yeah.
And what he was saying was that it's as though over the years it's become her normal every day. And he tried different things in a pretty kind of male, pull yourself together kind of way.
Work.
No, amazingly it didn't work. And he was starting to feel as though there was something odd in her connection with anxiety. So his question to me was, can anxiety be an addiction? Can you actually be addicted to it? And the answer is yes, you can. And that's because all of us are addicted to chemical states that are in our brain and our bodies. And if you train your system long enough to develop the habit of anxiety, then you'll keep returning back to that chemistry to feel normal.
Yep.
Yeah, which sounds a bit bonkers because we had this conversation before we went on air, didn't we? That the idea that our system, our mind-brain system, is completely neutral. Your mind-brain doesn't care whether the habits that you create are positive or negative, whether they're good for you, whether they're harmful for you. They're just habits. Yeah.
So this bowl of or this little pack of chocolate brownie bites that I brought with me that
so you're pigging out on
my mind
their
brain
habits.
God knows how many calories I'm
in each
consuming.
One.
I
can see you expanding by the minute.
And yeah, I keep reaching for them, and I'm only 9.5 stone for that.
No, you were only 9.5.
Yeah, I was earlier on today.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. No, because I was kind of arguing that how can a normal state be so if it's constantly eating away at you, making you worse and worse?
But think about people that self harm. Yeah, I mean, logically, why would anybody want to self harm? But when you're actually in that chemical state where self harm seems normal, that's what you do. That's the habit you develop.
That's the same for people overeating, I guess, as well.
Anything, and it's that thing.
It's a lot.
Yeah. When I was a kid, they used to call cigarettes coffin nails. Give us a coffin nail. And it's like you know what you're doing, and then you stick one in your mouth. You know, that's crazy.
Yeah,
bonkers. Yeah.
Okay.
So if we start looking at anxiety generally, we have to come back to the idea that anxiety is ultimately a good thing because it keeps us safe. And there are times when we need to be anxious or have that alertness and awareness so that we don't get ourselves into a pickle.
Yeah.
Yeah, you don't fall off of trees or...
Yeah, we get it. I mean, I get it in through work, you know, so I'm quite a kind of a last-minute kind of guy when it comes to work, and I kind of rely on that late little adrenaline, anxious state to get something done when a deadline is approaching. But it works on huge scales as well. I mean, my main source of anxiety at the moment, I talk about it a reasonable amount on this show, is the whole climate change thing, which more stats out yesterday.
So what are you anxious about? What do you see happening?
I'm anxious about the human species being made extinct within 100 years, maybe sooner. So, yeah, quite a lot. at least I can laugh about it, though. Yeah, and I can sort of see as, because I read a lot about it, and I feel as though we've actually gone past the point of no return in some way. That's what makes me anxious, is that no matter what we do, I mean, there are things we can do, and we are doing, actually. We're too late, but I don't want to freak anyone out.
But the thing in that for me, I don't want to sound too kind of boring and cognitive in this. It's like, let's say we have gone beyond the point of no return, and in 100 years we're all going to be gone. Let's say that's reality. Yeah. Our choices are that we can either go, oh my god, and live the next 100 years in terror, or we can enjoy the next 100 years and die at the end of it. You know what I mean? It's like, I understand the basis of anxiety. I get why people hook into anxiety, but if you've got a choice, why would you play the game? Because if the reality is that in 100 years the human race is going to die out, guess what? In 100 years, the human race is going to die out, whether we whistle all the way to the end or whether we stagger along moaning about it, you know what I mean?
It's so, time to crack out a pack of cigarettes, isn't it?
Yeah. Crack open the crack.
Yeah. Okay. I'll mull on that one. So that's Mike. Have you got any state... Do you get anxious about anything, Sean? Come on, you can open up to me.
I was trying to think about that earlier on. And do I get anxious?
I know you do when people invade your space when you're in the kitchen. Is that an anxiety?
No, that's murder.
that's just rage.
That's my anal part. The thing that really, 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 really gets me in the kitchen is when people don't put things back in the right place. And I'm cooking and I open a drawer to get something out and it's not there. And then I have to go hunt the ladle. You know,
but you should know better, really, shouldn't you? It's not that big a deal. You do know that.
No, it is a big deal. When I'm doing it, it's a big deal. definitely.
You instantly forgive whoever did it. Forgive whoever put that spoon in the wrong place, eh?
Of course. I don't generally feel anxious about anything. I'm not a fatalist, but I know that things will pan out. And in my life, I've had to deal with so many difficult, disastrous issues. And I know that in the end, they all pass. They all go.
Yep.
You know, and it's like, there's times when I don't see the point in anxiety. I don't get it. You know, you smack your car into a wall, you get someone to fix it. It's no good going, oh my God, I smacked the car. Who cares? Just go and get someone to fix it. I mean, it's so easy to pick things up and get worried about them, and why.
Yep.
You know, for me, it's a kind of a waste of energy, waste of emotion, waste of good consciousness.
You've learned that through practice, though, you weren't...
Yeah, yeah. Oh, no, I admit freely that when I was a teenager and I'd left home and I was imbibing illegal substances, I had huge levels of anxiety that were off the scale, they're off the Richter scale. And maybe that it's going through things like that that has taught me that really, what's the point?
Yep.
You know? So I kind of get it. I get where it's at. But once you develop the habit of being anxious, it takes over your life. then it takes over the life of everybody around you.
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm sure we might not all know people that will be diagnosed with anxiety, addiction disorder, but we all know people in our lives who are generally more anxious people, you know.
But the same thing would be true. In psychospeak, we'd say things like, if someone in your family has an alcohol problem or a cocaine problem, then the whole family has. So that's true about things like addiction, true about things like anxiety, it's true about things like depression,
yeah,
anything like that. If you've got someone in your family who has high levels of autism, the whole family has an autism problem. So, I mean, these things are shared either in the family or in the community.
Yep.
Yeah? So once we start to develop certain behaviours, we can't help but affect the other people around us. It's inevitable.
Yeah. I mean, actually, it's quite interesting. My wife, God bless her, is slightly more anxious.
She went Cockney again.
It's slightly more an anxious person than I am about certain things. She doesn't care that much about climate change, to be honest. Mm. But smaller things in, like, to be fair, kitchen stuff, like you.
That's being sensible.
But sometimes her anxiety does rub off on me a little bit, and I start to worry about things on her behalf, which is why I always find a bit weird. So I guess that's what you're getting at there a little bit. But how do you kind of differentiate a person who has a minor issue like that and is someone who's actually got the disorder label?
Anxiety is normal. Anxiety disorder is abnormal. If I'm lying in bed and I'm in fear of the fact that the saber-toothed tiger is going to bite my bum, yeah, that's an irrational fear, and that's kind of stupid. Yeah, and that's a very powerful word. As soon as people become over-emotional, whether it's anger, whether it's anxiety, or whether it's love, they become stupid because the cognition turns off.
I see that in my 4-year-old son on a regular basis.
Yeah.
When anger takes over, and I'm holding his head and he's swinging his arms away.
Yes, and logic has gone out the window.
And that polite little boy that was there half an hour ago,
he's gone.
I was reading a story through, he's completely disappeared.
I think that one of the things that we need to be aware of is that we have anxiety that's normal, we have anxiety addiction, which is abnormal. That's odd.
Yeah.
But we have other issues as well, which are what I would see as clinical anxiety. If you think about something like depression, we can be depressed because we have repressed anger that we're not expressing, and that kind of drags us down. We can be depressed because we're reacting to something that's happened around us, so we get reactive depression. Or we can be clinically depressed because the chemistry in our body isn't functioning properly. And that might mean that our body, our endocrine system isn't working. So if someone has diabetes, the problem that they've got is that their insulin levels don't work. So we have to give them insulin. And you can't say, OK, think positively, be mindful, and you create more insulin, because you won't. And when you have a clinical problem like that, you can't create more of a chemical. Mm-hmm. So if someone has anxiety, okay, that's all right. So if someone has an anxiety disorder, that becomes difficult. If they have a reactive anxiety, then something's actively going on around them and they can do something about that, usually fight or flight. Yeah. If someone has clinical anxiety, then their chemistry's out and the chemistry needs to be adjusted. It may mean that they need to take something. And one of the things I think is important to say and acknowledge, and this is a female thing, not a male thing, mm-hmm. is that because the way that a woman's body works, at different times of the month when there are menstrual issues going on, you may get heightened levels of anxiety because the chemistry is not right. Yeah. Now, that would mean... So it's easy for us to say, oh, she's on one again.
I wasn't going to say anything. I kept my trap shut the whole way.
I could tell.
You know?
But you could have a premenstrual, a postmenstrual, or a mid-cycle. And depending on how the chemistry is working in the individual, could create anxiety. Yeah, and sometimes people need to take things like safflower oil or sages or whatever they need to take to balance their system. Yeah,
or a vacation.
Yeah. or the men need to go to the smoking shed at the end of the garden.
Okay.
The, The same thing is also true about menopausal issues. When a woman goes into menopause and her hormonal chemistry is thrown out, she may have all kinds of reactions, one of which is quite common, is anxiety.
Okay.
Yeah. And these things are clinical. And it doesn't matter how mindful you are. It's certainly true that by being mindful, you can minimise the effects of things, but you still can't take away the effect.
Right.
Yeah. I suppose the other thing that we need to acknowledge in this is that recent research coming out, people have probably heard it on the news, is that there's a huge surge of anxiety, particularly in young women, between... Oh, sort of 16 and 28.
See something about that. Yeah. Okay. I'll try and dig that article out. Yeah. And stick it in the notes. Yeah.
And if you start looking at the psyche articles around it, the psyche research in the press, the feeling is that the only thing that is substantially different now to what was different before is social media.
Mm. Right.
So the issue of...
As I reach for my phone. I'm just going to try that. You keep talking, I'll find that article, yeah.
So, but the whole idea that people now are on display, if you look at the whole kind of selfie issue, people don't take ordinary pictures of themselves. They have to pose in a certain way. They've got to,
Everyone has the right angle, don't they?
And you've got to pout your mouth and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So you've got to look kind of sexy and whatever.
Weird.
Which means it starts to put pressure on people to look like something and be like something, yeah? And if you see the amount of people just walking around the streets that are taking selfies, it's not an uncommon thing to see anymore, and those are all going to end up online. But the whole idea about we're now exposed online, we're open online, there's no hiding online, people are saying things about us or things to us and we're responding and saying things, can create all kinds of levels of anxiety in people.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not least of all things like online dating. Yeah. It's quite weird the amount of people that I deal with who are involved in online dating. Either they're in a relationship that came from online dating or they're trying to get into one. And the amount of issues that people have in having text conversations and email conversations with people and maybe even a little bit of face to face on Skype, which is so totally different to actually meeting somebody.
Yeah.
And the levels of stress that come out of that are actually quite high.
Really?
Yeah.
Blimey. It's a whole new world, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. And in a way...
It's changed fast, because, like... Oh, sorry, yeah, because... Yeah. You know, I'm not that old. I'm 35 soon. I left school in 99, was it? So when I finished uni... The year I finished uni, Facebook kind of began and no one started using it really for a few years after that. So I missed out on all that school, but the next generation on, power all hit with it. So it's like an astronomical change.
Yeah, huge.
The things that go along with it, because me and my pals talk about what school would have been like if we had all had social media and Snapchat. And do you have to be friends with everyone in your class on Facebook, or just...
Then if you're not...
Oh, yeah, exactly.
Or if you're excluded from...
Or, like, if events are set up and you're not invited shared amongst certain people. Or, have you seen this? Oh, no, I wasn't in. I wasn't included in that.
Yeah.
All these small
cyberbullying.
Yeah, big time. Horrendous, crazy. So we got a lot of work to do, haven't we?
Mm.
You're not short for work at the moment, are
you? No. Keep people like me going for generations.
Yeah, flipping heck.
Yeah. But if you think about that, we have this massive changing technology and we're not changing physiologically to keep up with it.
Mm.
You know, we're not evolving as fast as the computers are evolving.
No.
Is it every 8 months they double in power? Computer, something like that? Isn't it?
I'm not sure, actually. Maybe not.
Something mad like that.
No, it's quick, but it's something like that. Yeah.
Mm.
There's something that's a crazy curve, isn't there? Mm. Is it Murphy's Law or something? Yeah.
I don't know. Somebody's Law.
Yeah. Well, the artificial intelligence is supposed to take off end of the 2020s-ish, is the current estimates. And as soon as it does, there's some interesting stuff there. But I mean, you know, like within an hour of computers being smarter than us, they'll be like godlike to us because they will have just started to think for themselves and it'll just kind of...
Do you think we're going to get to that?
Do you think humanity will reach that?
Do you think that once AI... takes over like that, that there will be, that it will start to run us rather than we run it?
I don't know, really. I'm not sure. I'm not clever enough to really get my head around some of the information behind it. I think AI will be a lot smarter than will take over from like human intelligence quite soon.
But the crazy thing is that everybody was saying, once we get this automation, excuse me, and we get all this stuff working for us, then we're all going to be able to relax because it's going to do all the work.
Yeah.
Yeah, it doesn't seem to actually be doing that.
Well, no. I mean, and you've seen what happened at the moment in, like, UK politics and in America. People, like, working class white folk who are able to relax a bit more now because they're not working in coal mines.
Mm.
And these kind of serious industrial jobs.
Yeah.
They're all depressed and angry, aren't they? Mm. Like, there's a backlash going on big time at the moment from these guys. So automation is starting to take over more and more. But whether it's the answer, I don't know, because people get bored, don't they? And people need things to do. We need jobs. We need purpose in our lives, don't we?
But if we had an education system, educated people to fulfil themselves rather than dig coal out of the ground, then maybe it would be different.
Well, we're going to have to do something, because we're not going to be digging coal out of the ground anymore anyway, so...
Because it does climate change. Then you'll get anxious.
Well, it's not just that anymore, because there are people that want to start opening coal mines in the UK again, but it's cheaper to create energy from the wind now, because we've invested so much in wind turbines and...
But what happens
panels.
When the wind doesn't blow?
Oh, well, we get big batteries to store all
the
energy.
We'll have to run outside and go...
don't worry, we've got storage, we need big batteries. But then we'll just have nuclear power stations instead. Either way, coal's not needed, so people in the coal industry, the jobs are gone within 10 years anyway.
Mm.
So I don't know.
Yeah.
It's less relevant over here, more in America, where the coal industry is still just about clinging on. Interesting times. We were talking about anxiety. I think we were, weren't we? But let's just try and get some actual answers for these people then who may be suffering. So if you think you are addicted to anxiety, what happens on day one of kind of...
I think that the first one, you've got to decide whether you're clinically anxious and you need medication, whether you're reactively anxious... and you need some therapy to deal with whatever you're reacting to.
Yeah.
Whether you are in a world where your body is chemically out of balance and you might need some help with that, or whether you have an anxiety disorder, as in it's a learned behaviour. Yeah, because if you have a learned behaviour, anxiety, that's the one you can change.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we've got with these ideas of social media and young people becoming toxic, I guess, with anxiety.
Yeah.
Yeah. What you have to do is you have to go back to our friend mindfulness. Because if we can learn to observe our behaviour, we can observe our thoughts, we can observe our feelings, we can observe our behaviour, we've now got a choice. Do I want to invest energy into maintaining these thoughts, feelings or behaviours? Because that's where it begins, and it's to do with that waking up process. And certainly if you do things like Headspace, if you do the different kind of meditation apps, you will start to become more aware of yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah, and when anxiety... Because you have to remember that a habit, we always define it as a habit, requires no effort and no willpower. We just do it.
Mm-hmm.
If your habit is to be anxious, you haven't got to worry about it, you just are it.
Like I've been reaching for these chocolates all this episode.
No effort, no willpower.
No, it's just been completely...
Nothing, just pigging out. Yeah.
That's fantastic.
Yeah. I think you need to see a therapist.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
But the thing is... Very often when someone is addicted to something, when you're looking at an anxiety addiction disorder, is that the person who needs to change is the addict. And as with all addictions, when you try to change an addict, they will resist.
Mm-hmm.
And you get Coué's law of reversed effort. It makes it worse.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the worst thing you can say to someone who's got anxiety is to say, oh, for bloody hell, you know, pull yourself together. Don't be, oh, for God's sake, what are you going to know that for? It just makes it worse and worse and worse. Yeah.
Yeah.
You can encourage the person to maybe do things about it, but you can't actually change them. And that's where our good old friend, the law of allowing, comes in. You have to allow people that need to be anxious until they get to a point where they decide, OK, I've had enough of this. I'm not going to do it anymore.
OK. Yeah, I can see that on a small scale. I'm quite anxious, as many are, about the rise of Mr. Trump, Mr. Farage, and Boris and Putin, Le Pen in France, and all that.
Marie Le Pen.
Do we just let these people go about their business because they're going to cause some serious damage in the next?
Well, it's interesting. You just used the phrase: "Are we going to let these people?" Does that mean that we get an army together and go around and duff them up?
Well, I don't know. Do we? In circumstances like this, is that what's needed, or do we just let them be for a few years and see what kind of ravage and mayhem. Do
you want a war now, or do you want to leave it? It's one of those, isn't it? It's like in the law of allowing.
What would Gandhi do, man? We need Gandhi back.
He'd probably go on hunger strike and say, "I'm going to go on hunger strike and
then finish these first."
No. But it's one of those things about. When Hitler was coming to power, lots of people could see it coming, but lots of people couldn't do anything about it until he started to do things. So when he finally rolls into Poland, then the world starts to get itself together and say, OK, we're going to do something about this now.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess that you could look at the world's response to ISIS, if you're looking at it as positive as you could, as the world trying to do something about it. The problem is that if you're on the other side of the fence and you're in ISIS, you might well be looking at the idea that that you're doing something about Blair and Bush.
Yeah. Well, have you noticed how, ISIS have gone pretty quiet in the news in the last couple of weeks, because they're probably just sitting back watching us kind of slowly tear ourselves to bits.
Yeah.
Thinking, hello, this is easier.
Yeah.
Than it was. Mm. Yeah, I don't know. Let's not get too global on this. Say we're trying to help individuals out here. But I do worry that we're kind of heading towards a more anxious world where people don't trust each other. And
I might get accused of being naive here or being complacent or anything like that.
Not by me, Sean, certainly.
No, never be. Buddha's supposed to say, isn't he? Okay, I've said it before, I'll say it again. He didn't say that, I did. So Buddha says, let's rise up today and be grateful because today we learnt a lot. And if we didn't learn a lot, well, at least we learned a little. And if we didn't learn little, well, at least we didn't get ill. And if we got ill, well, at least we didn't die. And I mean, so it's like those issues about where are we today? And yes, tomorrow there may be some global conflagration. There may be some kind of war to fight this year, next year, 10 years' time. I don't know. Mm. But right now, this moment, everyone who's listening to this, we're okay. And if we're going to live in the moment and live in the present, then we have to be where we are. It doesn't mean to say we need to be naive and not prepare for things that might happen. Yeah, but
so
we
stock
don't
stock up on tins of beans and
yeah, and special fart controls.
Okay,
too many beans. Yeah, and so we can deal with stuff, but we need to live in the moment where we are. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know whether Trump's going to turn out to be a damp squib and not do all these things that he kind of threatened he would do.
He's already backtracked on a lot.
Yeah. But one of the problems is he's incited a lot of people who have those kinds of racist and kind of right-wing mentalities, kind of fascists. He's already incited them and got their blood up.
Got them all excited and given them a real strong foothold. Hey, yeah.
So what happens from there? I don't know. Yeah.
But let's not be anxious, eh?
No, well, the thing is that right now there is nothing to be anxious about. We can worry about global warming, we can worry about Trump, we can worry about wars, we can worry about all kinds of stuff, but it's actually not happening now. Mm. Yeah, we can be aware of it, we can plan for it, but there's no point in being anxious.
Okay.
Relax. Calm down.
We got a resource of the week for us, Sean.
Yes, there's a website and an app, which is called Anxiety Slayer.
Mm,
okay. It's worth having a look at.
Cool. I like the name. I like it's kind of aggressive against anxiety. I like that kind of that idea of not doing it really calmly, just like getting really nuts on anxiety. I like that. Planet Earth 2 is mine because it's a new show from the Beeb.
I remember watching
Planet Earth probably about 10, 12 years ago when the first series aired. Just epic photography.
Amazing.
Yeah, I mean, you just highlight how cool the world is and also, you know, how lucky we are to have people smart enough and we have the time to just go off and just sit on a mountain for a year and just point a camera in one direction.
But the good thing about the Planet 2 is that at the end of it, they do like a diary bit where they show you how they got all the pictures and did the stuff that was on the programme you just watched. That's really cool.
Yeah,
that's
no, good, isn't it? So, good old Beeb. Yeah, really impressive. Yeah. Check it out if you can. Yeah, we'll be back next week, won't we, Sean?
We will.
In the meantime, liveinthepresent.co.uk is our website. Check it out for all the show notes from this week's show and all the previous shows as well. liveinthepresent.co.uk/123 are our partners. Check that out if you can as well and support the show. We would be massively appreciative. That word?
That is. That'll do.
Okay, I couldn't spell it, but that'll it sounds do. Like a word. and in the meantime, you take care till next week.
Yes, and be happy and don't be anxious.
Indeed. Good call. See you, Sean.
See you. Bye.
Bye.